Ephesians. I wanted to give you context, and I thought I needed to go all the way to Genesis. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Father, thank you for the awesome call and the anointing to be husbands and to be fathers. And I thank you for the ministry of the blacksmith and returning it back into the homes. I thank you for the young people. Lord, Barna has talked about how we have declined for 20 years in the church. We leveled out. Now we're starting to come back, and it's young males that are coming home, that are coming to the church. And so I thank you for the young men that are here, and forgive us for falling short in preparing this generation. But Lord, thank you for bringing beauty out of all these ashes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to continue to share again on fatherhood, specifically on being what I shared in the first session, a blacksmith out of 1 Samuel chapter 13, and how the Philistines knew they had to get rid of the blacksmiths. They had to do away with the blacksmiths in order to conquer God's people, in order to overcome God's people. If the blacksmiths remained, the blacksmiths would forge metal and shape and temper metal for weapons of warfare and for tools of success in a good work ethic. And they even required the Israelites to come to the Philistines to even get their tools sharpened. And God wills to return in this third great awakening the anointing of the blacksmith. These were not feminine guys. These were guys of masculinity, of secret, that they weren't well known. They didn't have a position in society where, again, they're in the forefront. They were in the background, but vital to God's plan for Israel. And fatherhood may not be a glorious position, but I'm telling you, the role you have and the anointing God has given you to be a man, to embrace your masculinity. And we've got two extremes. We've got the world that is attacking masculinity, and God doesn't want our masculinity under attack, but he wants our masculinity under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to minister to you about that. He doesn't want to remove masculinity. He wants our masculinity to come under his control and the control of the Holy Spirit, because it's masculinity that fights our wars. It's masculinity that has built our cities. It's masculinity that's built our bridges and highways. It's masculinity under control that forges and shapes and tempers the home for our children to be better prepared for warfare and have success in true warfare, and to be equipped with the tools that it takes to be successful in life. And that's the responsibility of the father. Now, let me say this too. I was overwhelmed with the response, honestly, sincerely, yesterday. So appreciative. Amazing how many people came up to me. I don't want to lose my time in some of these short testimonies, but they were just absolutely wonderful. Anywhere from one guy, you know, saying that I hammered him. Welcome to the blacksmith world. The good news was he didn't get up and walk out. He truly repented, and it brought him to a place of even more adjustment. Unbelievable background of failing. A pastor with a child that has gone off the cliff in tears, but ministered to greatly. So I want to encourage you to not receive any guilt or condemnation for any falling short as a father. We've all fallen short, if people are honest. There are no perfect fathers, and I'm here to tell you, there are no perfect children. I mean, the fact that I'm standing here and not twitching after raising four of them is the power of God in my life. I raised two girls. I can raise the dead. Hallelujah. So there is no condemnation. This is why you have to be taught in a good church how not to be condemned. God's not condemning you. I'm not condemning you. We've all failed. And yet God has not failed and will not fail. And God is still faithful no matter how we have failed, no matter how far we have failed. God remains faithful, and he has a plan that he ordained and that he called you in your mother's womb to be in part a dad. This side just seems to be the best anyway. The altar is filled on this side. On this side, really wimpy, very wimpy. Well, at least you're finding your masculinity. Hallelujah. There's only been one perfect father, and there's only been two perfect kids on this planet. And God was the Father, the Heavenly Father, that created a man, a full-grown man, Adam, and his wife, his wife, Eve, and he created them in maturity. And listen, they were perfect. They were in a perfect garden. They were in a perfect world, had a perfect, unfeathered relationship with the Heavenly Father. And they still messed it up. Amen or oh me. And when God came down and executed consequences, he brought up Satan's role, Adam's role, Eve's role, but he never said, and by the way, I messed up too. I shouldn't have put that tree in the garden in the first place. No, God did nothing wrong and yet lost his two perfect kids, but immediately intervened to make it right, to fix it, to be committed, not to join you in your sin, not to celebrate your sin, not to partake in your sin, but I am here to fix you in your sin, to save you from your sin. That's our God that has done that for all of us. I could say a lot right there. I'm just saying to you, even God lost two children with everything perfect. So I'm not condemned for any shortcomings as a father I had, and I had them. But I sought God in them, and he truly has worked everything together for my good, because I loved him and because I was called according to his purpose, that I was engaged at the best level I could be. And I just find it fascinating, and I think God appreciates fatherhood. Because do you realize God loves kids so much because he never has created one independent of man? Adam and Eve were full grown. Y'all didn't know that? Yeah, God's awesome and smart. He goes, I ain't changing diapers. I'm not dealing with teenagers. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have anywhere to cast my care. So I'm skipping all of that. And so I appreciate you guys partnering with me, says God, in having babies, in raising babies, in enduring teenage stage. And it's like, I'm going to share adulthood at 20 and how God says, you know, I'm trusting you for 20 years to be the blacksmith I've called you to be, to prepare him for battle, and to prepare them for life and successful living. And then I'm asking you, says God, after 20 years, you're going to have to trust me with your kids. See, I'm jumping way ahead, but one of the reasons some of your older kids don't want nothing to do with you is because you didn't cut the parental cord. You're still treating them like teenagers. You're still thinking they have to obey you. They're 45 years old and they have to obey you. You're still asking them at 45 to bend over and give them a spanking. I'm sorry. Half of you just looked at me like, what's a spanking? What's that? Well, that's a time-tested method of discipline in which a foreign object other than the hand connects with the gluteus maximus and sends a signal to the brain in which synapses begin to fire. Neurons come alive. Tear ducts open. And lightning strikes the child's mind. And the child goes, I ain't doing that again. Yeah. Spank it. Now, only nervousness I have, I know some of you gone to church your whole life, you never heard that word, is how does that work and how do you apply that in love and a lot of nuance. But I'm telling you, we have a whole generation that doesn't know what one is. I was teaching at a Bible school. I don't want to name the Bible school, what Bible school it was, somewhere close to here. And in a Bible school, I just mentioned the rod in passing. And I had students coming up to me and rebuking me. And one of them, boy, they were very arrogant. It was like, I want to educate you in the more excellent way. The rod, you know, that's God's wrath. And I thought you were a grace preacher. And I didn't mean to be mean, but I just simply said, and I thought you were smarter than that too. That sounds terrible. It really wasn't that bad. But I said, oh, no, no, no. Under the law, Deuteronomy chapter 20 and Leviticus chapter 21 and in Mark chapter 7, even Jesus mentioned, under the law, if your children curse you and if your children are rebellious and they don't respond to the rod, you're supposed to kill them. How many of you know a spanking is mercy? Hallelujah. This is mercy. And it's revealed under the book of Proverbs. And wisdom. And yet, look at how far we've backslidden. Dr. Spock, decades ago, defiled the whole church, and we lost the revelation of discipline, of borders, of consequences, of submission to authority. There is so much taught in the rod that it's incredible. And again, I don't have time for that. Let me give you three stages of your children's evolution. They're primary. There's a lot of nuance with kids. Even kids within your own family, it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, help me, and I'm dealing with this child, and here's how I need to approach this, but I can't take that even over to my other child. This child is just completely different. And so there's so much nuance, and you need the Holy Ghost desperately in order to raise them and rear them and deal with them properly. But you got three primary stages. Let me just give you the big picture. From 0 to 20, they are to obey and honor. And then from 20, they transition out from under your covering to God's covering. Let me read this, and then I'll give you the three stages. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey TikTok. Obey teachers at school. Obey counselors. No, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. So let's be clear in the harnessing of our masculinity and being the head of the home, because some of you really responded well to the head of the home and the savior of the body. I was so blessed that you understood me, that I was able to communicate with brevity. But it's still, like Billy taught, that for many of you is knowledge, but it's going to take you some time to get some understanding and some wisdom. Don't you dare go home and tell your wife you're in charge. Things are changing around here, bless God. Yeah, probably where you sleep at night. That's going to be one change. And I'm not paying for your medical bills. You need wisdom. You need understanding and knowledge. It starts with the knowledge. Then the light comes on of how the dots connect. And then wisdom is the proper application of the knowledge. And now the understanding. Well, we see here that our children and the discipline of our children is based on two simple things. Obey and honor. It's always about obey. It's not about your emotions. It's not about punishment. It's not about all the things it has become about. It is simply about obey and honor. And I'm invoking any discipline for your well-being. My heart in all my discipline is I want you to live long on this earth, and I want things to go well for you. When children do not obey their parents, when they dishonor their parents, they don't live long, and things don't go well for them. And one of the hardest things on me, I just love the truth so much. Because of what it's done in me and for me, I just love the truth. And it's so difficult. And I, help me, Jesus. I don't have time really for this, but people will come up to you and they want to know, why did my so-and-so die? And I know their heart, they're hurt, they're broken, but they don't want the answer. And I've had people, and I've shared that with people, that look, I don't know exactly why, but the Bible gives us a lot of clues on how we shorten or lengthen our life. And I have found most people don't want to hear it. So, and I've had people push me. And this is one scripture why people die prematurely and things don't go well in their lives. And even you paying for it today, coming and looking at me like you're somewhat hungry. You don't want to hear that. People who take communion and receive communion unworthily, the way they do it. And because they don't discern the body, Paul said, for this reason, you're dying prematurely and you're sick. See, y'all don't even want to hear it. So I understand people just reading this and going, what's the next verse say? I don't know about you, but I want my kids to live long and I want things to go well for them. It doesn't mean if they obey and honor me, they're not going to have problems. They're not going to have afflictions and persecution. No, no, it means what it says and says what it means, that if they obey me and I teach them obedience and I teach them how to honor me, then they will live long and things will go well for them, is a promise. So I'm not disciplining them out of my emotions. I'm not disciplining them out of anger. I'm not disciplining them because they disrupted my comfort zone today. I'm disciplining them in any form or fashion because I love them and I care about them. And so the stages, and then we'll get to verse 4 for the rest of the message. The stages, the three primary stages, 0 to 8 or 10, depending on their maturity, that's a stage. And you have to relate to them in a certain way as a father. Then from 10, or if they're mature, 8 or so, all the way to 20, and there's a way you treat them and relate to them during that stage. And then there's 20 plus, that there's a way you're supposed to relate to them in order to create a legacy in your life. So the just primarily, first stage, 0 to 8, training. It's just training. And there's a difference in training and teaching. You don't teach a lion to jump through a hoop. You don't teach a killer whale to come up and touch a balloon with its nose. You have to train it to do that. And training is just, you're like a helicopter parent. Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Don't scratch that. Don't pick that. Don't eat what you just picked. Don't hurt. Don't grab. Don't bite. Anybody remember that? You're a helicopter parent. Like, don't cross the street. We got, whoa. Again, don't eat that. They'll eat anything. They'll scratch anything, anywhere. And it's training, repetition. Then from 10 to 20, it's teaching. It's coaching. That is wrong. I love that stage personally because my children accepted my training primarily. But when it came as they got older, the why. Here's the what. But then the why. Why is that wrong? All my friends are doing it. Why does God feel that way about that? The whys. And so it's teaching. And then 20 plus is the transition, training, teaching, transition into adulthood, and that's when you become friends. That's when you only answer questions when they ask. And a lot of us just haven't been taught this. Let me give you some scriptures on 20 real quick. Four things happen that are revealed in scripture on adulthood. I will give you this scripture, Numbers 14:29. That's my favorite, that the 20 and up died in the wilderness, and 19 and below were allowed to go into the promised land. God cut and started adulthood at 20 years old. Now, for years, because of American culture, you know, I thought 18 and that's when, you know, they become adults. But biblically, that's your first foundation is only Caleb and Joshua and 19 and below entered the promised land. So at 20, they were held accountable for their sins. At 20 plus, Numbers chapter 1, the whole chapter, when it starts, it's every other verse. And at 20, they went to war. At 20, they went to war. At 20, they went to war. So they were adults and considered adults at 20 and went to war. Number three, 20 plus were counted in the census. They only counted adults, and that was from 20 up. That's Numbers 26, 4 and 32, 11. And then number four, 20 plus paid the temple tax, or an offering was required of the adults for the care of the temple. The workers that had to work in the temple at 20, you were required to pay that temple tax. Exodus 30, 13 through 16, chapter 38, 26, Leviticus 27, 3. So I've got my children for 20 years. And if I can't get them ready in 20 years, the next 2 days after that isn't going to matter. I knew that wouldn't go over big, but if God says, I give you 20 years to train them, to teach them, and then you transition at 20, and now you become their friend. I was not my children's friend as their dad in the obedient stage. See, the obedient stage is from 0 to 20. The honor stage is for a lifetime. My children still honor me, but they are under no requirement to obey me, but they are required as an adult now to obey God. They are accountable to God now, not necessarily to me. And again, they don't want to be around me and me treating them like a 16-year-old, me meddling in their marriage, meddling in their affairs, meddling in their lives. No, in Genesis chapter 2, God specifically said after the creation of Adam, and then Eve came out of Adam, and then God brought Adam and Eve back together, that woman that was in him, that female that was in him. God took her out. God brought her back. They became one. And then God says, therefore, leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. The two shall become one flesh. Do you realize Adam and Eve didn't have a mother and a father? That's the second time you didn't know that. They were created full grown. Adam came out of the dust, full grown. Eve came out of his rib, full grown. God's looking at him and says, leave your father and your mother. And Adam looks over at Eve and goes, I don't have a father and a mother. Do you have a father and a mother? Eve goes, no. Why is he telling us to leave them? That's how bad they can be. God said, leave them before there was ever any of them on the planet. There's a point that the parental cord is supposed to be cut. The point is 20 or marriage. And at that point, your parental cord is cut. They're still your children. They still honor you as their father, but they are under no requirement after 20 to have to obey any rules you have or philosophies you have, but they are required to honor you, to honor you. And a lot of parents just never cut the cord, and so they're meddling in their kids' marriages, and creating chaos and strife and division. They're meddling in their life choices. I had 20 years to teach them, make good choices, make good choices. And once they become an adult, they're under the covering of God now. They're accountable directly to God, and they still need to now make good choices under God like they made good choices under me. Amen. Amen. I was leaving for a meeting just recently. My oldest daughter lives on our property and actually lives in the house that Sue and I used to live in. We live in a barn dominium now on the property because we're gone so much, and thank God they're there to keep the property. And I was driving out. I'm sorry, I need to hurry. But I was driving out of the driveway, and my oldest daughter shouted out me, "Dad, make good choices." I hear you. Thank you for reminding me of my great teaching. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Again, masculinity will either be under attack by the world or it'll be under control by the Holy Spirit. And my authority over my children is not for their harm. Paul even said, I think it's 1 Corinthians either 10:8 or 8:10. Sometimes I flip things. But he said the authority given to him by God was not for their destruction, but for their edification. My authority as a father isn't given to abuse my children or misuse my children or harm them in any way, form, or fashion. My authority as a blacksmith, my authority as a father is for their edification, not their harm. So God specifically commands me, because of my masculinity and because I'm the head of the home, not just the wife, I'm the head of the home, not to abuse this commandment for them to obey and honor me. I'm not to take that in a way that I abuse them in any way or harm them in any way. And it just is interesting to me that he specifically says, do not provoke them to anger. I'm going to fly through these things. I think actually I can do it. I'm excited that I got here this fast. You being quiet really helped. Like, well, I can't help them now. I need to move on. So what are things that provoke our children to wrath? There are things we can do that the scriptures warn us not to do. Everybody okay so far? Yeah. Now, I want to encourage you again. I'm just going to give you the top 10. And I guarantee you, if you don't get hit, you're just a hypocrite. You ain't the real deal. You're not honest. You're not going to make it. I need to pray for your kids. Because I don't know anybody. When I give these 10 things, they came out of, uh-oh, I mishandled that. Uh-oh, I did the right thing, but my tone really wasn't right. I mean, my children had never heard me raise my voice. They'd never seen Sue and I argue or disrespect one another. And they'd never heard me raise my voice. And Jacob, I wish Sue was here to help me with numbers. I can't remember ages and stuff, but he was small. And I came home, he had disobeyed and dishonored his mother. She had told him to clean up the room 3 or 4 times. He didn't do it. I don't know if I had a bad day that day. Sometimes when you're pastoring, it's like everybody's wagon wheel falls off at the same time. And it's like, even, you know, people even die so disrespectfully. It's Christmas. Could you not wait one more day to die? Just things happen. And you got to deal with it. And somehow or another, I don't know what, I can't remember what was wrong with me. I just came home. I crashed into his room. I raised my voice to clean this room up and clean it up now. And walked out. Well, I was so distracted and lacking self-awareness that evidently he started to cry. And Sue heard him. And so Sue then, and remember, I'm the head of my home. I've never forgot it. I am the head of my home, but primarily because Sue said so. So Sue, the one that told me I'm the head of my home, recommended strongly that I go back in there. And as the head of my home, I submitted to the one that said I'm the head of the home. I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun now. And so I go back in there and he's crying. And I said, son, what's wrong? And man, he was young and he's crying. And he says, I just feel like I disappointed you so bad. And oh man, it just hit my heart. Oh no, 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 I'm so sorry. And I apologize. It's called repent. I apologized to him and said, look, you do need to clean up your room. But my tone wasn't right. My attitude wasn't right. And I'm not displeased with you at all. It's just, I love you and you need to obey and honor your mother. And I mishandled that. Forgive me for that. I'm telling you, repenting to your kids, it'll change their lives. I can't believe I got that well and good of a support. Men, do not let your masculinity out of control override humility and the ability to say, I was wrong. And some of you, you could have such a great marriage, but you don't know how to say, hey, I'm sorry. Everybody say, I am sorry. Look, you're still alive. It didn't kill you. I came home one time and Sue, women just have a look. You better learn it because it's supernatural. My girls had it. They would just look at me and okay, what happened? What am I not aware of? And Sue had that look. I just said, I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry. There are things we can do to provoke them to wrath. And while God wants us to be that blacksmith, masculine, beats the steel, forges it, shapes it, tempers it, he warns us, do not provoke them to wrath. So let's go through these quickly. Number one, number one probably is number one, you being angry and full of wrath. A lot of men think unless they raise their voice, unless they put their foot down, unless they affirm they're the head of the home. And by the way, when you're trying to have to affirm who you are, you're slipping. You don't have to tell your kids, I'm the boss. You're supposed to just be the boss. And the minute you have to start saying you're the boss, you're losing bosshood. So when you get mad, you raise your voice like I did. James chapter 1 is clear. Verse 19 and 20, be swift to hear. Welcome to dadhood. So difficult. Be swift to hear. Hear them out. Don't interrupt them. Hear them out. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You cannot work righteousness into your children in human anger. Amen. If I didn't cover the other nine, I have helped thousands upon thousands of dads to make sure you're not invoking any form of discipline out of anger, out of wrath. And it's a man thing. I mean, we had one speaker here that talked about one of his biggest problems still is anger. But we can reckon ourselves dead to that too, just like we reckon ourselves dead to anything else. And as soon as you feel any kind of emotion, you're supposed to be the adult in the room and stop. The biggest torments I ever did to my children, and I don't regret it, I'm not apologizing now, but I tormented them because something they had done bothered me, and I said, we'll deal with this tomorrow. I need to sleep on it. And I was the only one that got any sleep. That'll hit you later, I'm in a hurry. They would rather me just do it. What is it? Where are we going? What are the consequences? Than to have to sleep all night wondering, oh no, what I'd rather, for me, my children would rather I be emotional. Because they knew when I was sane, it's not going to be good. Number two, things that provoke our children to wrath is inconsistency. Inconsistency. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a mark of maturity and manhood is consistency. That you do not discipline your children out of mood swings. It will provoke them to wrath that it's okay for them to do it today because you're in a good mood. But if they do that same thing tomorrow, you're in a bad mood. You have to learn to be consistent. And we don't even understand, I didn't, all that God's doing in godly discipline. One of the things you're modeling for them in consistency is how God deals with them. God doesn't chasten us out of mood swings. Amen or oh me. And you have to learn not to discipline your children in any form of discipline out of this mood that, why in the world would I raise my voice to Jacob in the form of discipline even? I was in a bad mood. My sin of trying to invoke righteousness unrighteously was more grievous to the Holy Spirit than anything Jacob had done. Amen. This is why you don't see fathers and blacksmiths and men. Men step up to the plate and take ownership of their actions. Yeah, that was halfway decent. I didn't expect any response. That's part of being a man, is taking responsibility and accountability for my actions. This is figured. See, you had your chance. You had your chance. God Almighty gave you a chance to give me a standing ovation and put these people in their place. But oh no, you guys get it. Hallelujah. I'm hammering you as a blacksmith. All right, number three is huge. Number three is huge, and I'm going to try to fly through it. Thank God I'm running out of time. I don't expect you to get this. I'm not even asking you to drink the Kool-Aid. But would you please sip it? Okay. Only the older people caught that. Number three is neglect. Neglect. Much of the rebellion in our kids is to get our attention. Our neglect will provoke them to anger. Now, here's what I don't expect you to get. It's okay. I'm used to it. First of all, not disciplining your children is not love. It is a form of hate. I can't tell you how many, in churches, how many people I've had look at me and go, well, I just love my children too much to discipline them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the recoil. He that spares the rod hates the child, but he that loves him disciplines him early, promptly. Again, I know there's confusion over the rod. I know there can be an abuse unbelievably with the rod. But how much of the Word of God are we going to go, well, that ain't for today. That ain't for today. How much of the world are we going to allow into our hearts, our churches, our homes in that order? To spare or the lack of discipline is a form of hate. And I don't know if it takes does it really take the Holy Spirit to break this veil over our eyes? That to leave a child, to raise a child with no discipline, to raise a child with no boundaries, to raise a child not teaching consequences, authority. The world doesn't rotate around you, hot rod. I know you think it does right now, but you're not the center of the universe. And you can't treat people that way. You can't act that way. You can't be like that and have a happy life. Have a happy wife. If you're gonna just be undisciplined, you're not gonna be able to keep a job. I would have to hate you to not discipline you, because I don't want you to be successful in work and in the workplace and submission to authority and the understanding of being on time and consequences for your actions and the law of sowing and reaping and cause and effect. And I would have to hate you because you're going to get married one day and you ain't going to make it 6 weeks because you don't understand. You're accountable for your words, your attitude, your actions. You can't treat a woman that way and stay married. I'd have to hate you. Because you're going to wind up in jail. Because you can't drive the speed limit. You don't know how to relate to a police officer. You don't know how to come under authority to have a happy, successful life. So you're going to be in jail. And man, I'd have to hate you because they're going to cut you in jail. You ain't going to get away with this attitude in jail. You're going to find out in jail that you ain't the center of the universe. And there's going to be gangs that are going to come after you. And they're going to cut you and they're going to beat you. But I don't care. I hate you. Y'all aren't getting it, but that's okay. I love you so much that when you act this way, here's the consequences, and welcome to life. Amen. Welcome to life, hot rod. I know you think you're special, unique, and everything's going to cave to you, but you're going to cave under everything if you don't learn. And I love you too much to neglect you. I love you too much to neglect discipline, neglect affirmation, neglect attention. It provokes children. We have an entire generation and a powder keg about to explode in our culture. Thank God for this third great awakening. I think it's going to save us from things we were unaware of that was on the horizon. But I'm telling you, there's an entire generation out there that has been provoked to wrath because they didn't have a dad say no. No. Your kids are going to rule either in the kingdom or on the streets in gangs. Your men are going to rule. They're either going to rule in the kingdom and with their masculinity under control, or they're going to rule in gangs on those streets if we don't discipline them, if we don't teach them no, if we don't teach them even no, not now. Best thing you can do for your kids, bless my heart. Take them to Walmart when they're little. Let them fall on the ground and foam at the mouth and do a 360 when you say no. Can I have this, Daddy? No, not now. It's not always just no, but they have to be taught early. No, not now. Why do we have a generation full of entitlement? Why do they think they're owed so much? They haven't had dads. Just nod your head on this one. I'm in a hurry. Act spiritual. You better get a hold of your children. Now, some of you, we're going to need a miracle. We're going to pray for a miracle. Your kids are too far down the road. But the young men here that have kids, you better monitor their social media. And when they go to you, well, that's private. This is my room. No, no, no. This is my house, and I'm leasing this room to you till you're 20. And I have a right to see what you're posting. I have a right to see what you're watching. Because what they post 10 years from now can cost them jobs. Just nod your head. I'm in a hurry. And why are we having an identity crisis? This wasn't even around when we were kids. Because we didn't have access to social media, where now TikTok is defining our identity instead of dads defining our identity. Listen, I love you, and I thank God I'm running out of time because this is a nuclear bomb. They are not in charge to tell you who they are. You're in charge to teach them who they are in God and what God had for them before the foundations of the world. I don't understand these parents. Well, my kid came to me and said he's confused in his gender. So is he in charge? Is he supposed to teach you who he is and you capitulate? Amen or oh me. Thank God I'm out of time. No, no. Okay, number four is abuse. Abuse verbally, abuse physically. Don't speak evil things over your kids. Don't call them names. Don't get frustrated. And say things. Words hurt. Again, I talk about the rod. And the world just, the rod. Oh my God. You would strike a child. While they're cutting their breast off and their testicles, but I'm abusing them with the rod. I'm damaging them. There is a line with the rod and a time to take it away. But we don't speak over them. Man, the words spoken were a spanking. I'm sorry, it's just so simple and so. Words. You're no good and you'll never be any good. You're nothing but a headache to me. Are you with me? Those things go deep. Never forget the authority God gave you can be abused, but it has a negative effect, just like it's supposed to have a powerful effect. Speak words of grace. Make sure your speech is seasoned with salt. Preserving them. Protecting them. Number five, unclear expectations. Unclear expectations. The funnest I had as a dad, and I'm out of time, and I want to pray for you. I am. I want to be invited back. He who speaks with brevity will be invited back. The funnest I had was teaching them to engage in feedback with clarity. Am I clear with this rule? Do you understand the rule? It was so much fun. And it was educational that many times they didn't understand the rule. You can't hold somebody accountable for something they really don't understand. And so when it came to friends' phone privileges, their phone is not an entitlement. I'm a benevolent dictator. That phone is not yours, and I can take it away at any minute. I mean, I actually had my kids, when they got older, beg me for a spanking. No, you're too old for a spanking. I'm taking the phone. Please beat me with a chase chain, but don't take the phone away. And so you'd be clear. And listen, dads, you're clear with, here's the boundaries. Now, what's going to happen if you violate? Did you know God's that way? God didn't just say, don't eat of the tree. I'm the boss. Don't eat of that tree. I'm in charge. No, God was clear. Don't eat of the tree. Rule. And the day you eat therein or thereof, you will die. I got this from God. I don't know if you're... if you're tracking with me. So here's the rule. What will happen if you break the rule? Well, I didn't kill them. I didn't tell them they'd die. I'm talking about the kids. I've had thoughts of death, but I had to harness those thoughts. A spider, I don't know if you know this, a spider eats its young. I've had that spirit come on me. So I'm making the boundaries, and here's what you're doing. You're teaching them to process. You're teaching them, if I do this, this will happen. Then when they break the rule and you invoke the consequences, they're the problem, not me. If you teach clear boundaries, and then the consequences, when they break them, you're teaching them to take ownership. Oh, you're just being mean. Oh, you're just a bad dad. No. You're not so good a kid. I thought we agreed on this. I'm not a bad dad. Didn't I say, here's the rule? Didn't I tell you if you do this, this was going to happen?
Yeah.
So who's at fault? See, we don't even understand we're teaching them ownership and accountability for their actions, and quit the blame game. I'm not your problem, I'm your solution. And if you don't do it, they'll blame God for every consequence in their life. Man, this is important. I only got half of them, but I want to pray. Everybody 20 years and older, or 19, 20. I know what you're thinking. That guy didn't hear God. He can't even get the number right. 19 and under, stand up. Wait. 19 and under, stand up if you want prayed for God to use you in this third great awakening. 19 and under, stand up. You're going to turn 20 soon. And there's something that happens. You become directly accountable. Your parents have been a covering. I know you think maybe they've been oppressive, or they haven't let you have fun, or they're restraining you. They're a covering. They've been an absolute covering. But you're going to turn 20. And you're accountable to God from 20. And everything I've said applies to you. Most of you are going to become husbands and you want to be good ones. Most of you are going to become dads and you want to be good ones. And I want to pray for you because you are at the beginning of something you will look back on. You will look back on today. You'll look back and have the wisdom and understanding to know I'm the legacy. I'm the men and blacksmiths that God is calling home. The biggest demographic that's returning to church. For 20 years, Barna has reported church decline, church decline, church decline. It finally leveled out recently, and now it's headed up. And guess who the demographic is that's coming home to church? Young men. You are coming home. God's calling you home. You probably are serving God, or you wouldn't be here. But perhaps even your dad brought you being a good dad, or a friend brought you being a good friend. If you don't know Jesus, you're not only missing out on an eternity, you're missing out on a third great awakening that you can be a part of. You will be a part of. And so do all of you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. And he's better at this than I am. But you need to, it's time, if you haven't made that commitment to Jesus as Lord of your life, you need to do it now. And I want to invite you to do that. If you've made the commitment, you are not here by accident. And I assure you, I'm not here by accident. I'm here on a divine assignment. And you needed this. Maybe you've sat there and thought, well, this is for my dad. No, this is for the new dads that God's raising up. Amen. The new dads. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to make a commitment to Jesus now before you come under direct accountability to God, I want you to raise your hand. We make sure you're saved. You know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Everybody that's standing, okay? I'm going to assume you've made a commitment to Christ. Then today is the day of surrender. Today, it wasn't for your dads. It wasn't for the adults that came forward and surrendered. It's for you. If you didn't do that, I want to pray for you now, and you need to do that. I tell you what, I really hear the Lord on this. I'm going to pray for you still because God told me to. But we need some anointed men. I'm not saying the altar workers aren't anointed. This is just something that I feel led, and I need to hurry here. I am going over. But I need Billy. I need people like David, others that are men that have been tested, forged in the fire, shaped into Christ-likeness, and tempered to fulfill the will of God. Colin would be, again, I don't mean to call just a few out, but I need some men to come down here to the front that want to lay hands on the next generation and impart that anointing to lead, to be servant leaders, and to be the husbands God's called them to be and the fathers He's called them to be. Mark, you'd be one of those if you'd do that for me. So I need some men to come down here quickly. Help me out. The men that are standing, I want to invite you to come down. We're going to lay hands on you to prepare you for transition into adulthood. Things are going to change. Praise the Lord. Hey, guys, look at how many 19 and under. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Woo. Jeff. Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Man, I missed it on that. I've been here, but I haven't been paying attention. This is a lot of young men. Think about that. Think about what we're seeing right here. I mean, wow. Father, as they're laying hands on these young men, I pray that anointing for masculinity under control. I pray that these young men receive a revelation. It doesn't take a man to make a baby. It takes a man to raise a baby. And I pray they be faithful husbands. I pray they be faithful fathers. I pray that they be faithful ministries in this third great ministers in this third great awakening. I just thank you for the anointing of these seasoned men flowing into these young men, into their hearts, into their lives, into their visions. God's going to give many of you young men visions. You're supposed to be having visions. We're having dreams. You're to be having visions of God's plan for your life. So, Father, I speak the release of the Holy Spirit for all of them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for them to receive the Holy Spirit and have visions and dreams of what you're doing in the earth. Thank you for these young men. Father, I really sincerely am overwhelmed. I didn't think it would be near this many. And we are so blessed to see these young people. Thank you for that anointing flowing through these seasoned men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I break every assignment of the devil in the name of Jesus to harm them, to draw them away. I thank you they must take responsibility and, yes, resist temptation. But, Father, we just break any strategy in the name of Jesus to hurt or harm them or to rob them from their destiny, from your plan. of holiness and righteousness and godliness. May the grace of God increase upon them as we lay hands on them and teach them to live godly and holy and righteous before their God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, this blesses me so much. Thank you, fathers and friends that brought your young people. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. I mean, we saw healings that just was amazing. People filled with the Holy Spirit, people getting saved. But to see young people even at a meeting, how huge that is in our culture. And God's doing something. He's rewarding many of you for bringing your son. This is a harvest. You're getting harvest on prayers you've probably prayed for years for these young people to step up. Man, I'm just so blessed. I know I went over my time. I apologize in one way for that, but not for what God is doing. It just, this is vital. This is vital. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me, surprising me, that you're raising up this generation. This thing is turning. In the name of Jesus, Father, I rebuke woke in the name of Jesus, and I release awake in the name of Jesus. Help our young people not to be woke, but be awake to what God is doing. Help these young people's eyes to be open to see the foolishness of sin, the foolishness of the world, and bring it all to naught, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you that our church, Father, I speak to churches to come alive in the name of Jesus, to be faithful to the Word of God, faithful to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Prophets, and that we not be ashamed of our God or the gospel. I am not ashamed of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to the Jew first and unto us. I just thank you, Father, for those believing, that belief is happening. Unbelief is being trampled in the name of Jesus. We will no longer be trampled under the foot of men, but we receive our identity as the salt of the earth and the light of this world. May these young people absolutely run the race that is before them, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.